Judaism. We created the concept of guilt. If religion is the opiate of the people, how come so many Jews seem more neurotic than sedated? My childhood was a time of anxiousness, and religion never provided me with any solace. My religion was Judaism, even though very few of my relatives actually practiced it. Most of them didn't attend temple on a regular basis. They were good for the major holidays, the big four as I call them, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, and Passover. By Jewish standards, that would not be called being a practicing Jew, but it was still enough reason for the Russians to kick their asses on a regular basis. My maternal grandfather's family even moved to Israel, or Palestine as it was called back then. Apparently, my great-grandfather decided he had a year to live and wanted to die in Palestine. Nobody really seemed to remember how he came to that conclusion. He packed the whole family up, and at the start of the 20th century, they left Russia. A year passed, and my great-grandfather was still alive. That's when my great-grandmother said, "Enough is enough," and moved back to Russia with the family, leaving her husband alone in Palestine. Meanwhile, my grandfather decided he hated Russia and felt that Palestine was a hellhole, so he headed off to America instead. After the move to the States, he was never too keen on Judaism, or any religion for that matter. Ironically, his name was Israel. In spite of my grandfather's ambivalence, my parents decided to raise my brother and me in the Jewish religion, probably to give us an idea of our cultural heritage. Also, the inescapable Jewish guilt no doubt just made them feel obligated to do so. Either way, it worked. There are things about the Jewish religion that I carry with me to this day. Chief among them is Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, as it's so happily called. It had a profound effect on my innocent young mind. The service opens with the organ playing Kol Nidre, one of the spookiest pieces of music ever written. You hear it and are literally surprised that bats and shit aren't flying around. I think Alfred Hitchcock based all of his film scores on it. As the service proceeds, you learn that Yom Kippur is the day that one atones for all of the sins that were committed over the past year. "This," the rabbi intones, "is the day that God puts your name in the book of life or the book of death." How sweet is that? The book of death? Are you kidding me? That's a hell of a concept for an 8-year-old to deal with. Until then, my own death wasn't something I had even considered. So what flashed across my mind as I recounted my numerous sins, which were conveniently printed in my prayer book, was an aged God with hands trembling as they hovered over the book of death. In one of those arthritic hands, I imagined a pen, and as he got closer to the book, I saw his hand shake ever so slightly and watched as a drop of ink fell to the parchment. I further imagined that God stared at the drop for a moment and, almost as an afterthought, in the most beautiful cursive penmanship, proceeded to write the name Lewis Black. In short, the whole idea of a book of death rattled the bars of the little cage that was my existence. I became obsessed with it, and I set out to prevent God from making any mistakes when it came to me. I was going to make sure that I never had another bad thought or did a bad deed, figuring that was all it would take to make God leave me alone. Considering I was just 8, there really wasn't much I could do to stop God from doling out the ultimate punishment. But since I was, in fact, merely 8 years old, I didn't know that. So I came up with a plan. Whenever I had a bad thought, I had to immediately say, "I am sorry, God." I did this for a while, but then I figured it might not be enough. That's when I decided to add, "Please forgive me." This, I thought, was the only way to make sure that God would have to participate.